Hi, this is Steve. I'm sitting here with Digital 3. It's nighttime. I keep wondering who else is around. There are shadows and little people. And some of them seem young in us. Others are old. We walk by the parking meter to get here. And there's a lot of technology around us. There's a suspension bridge. I call it the suspension of disbelief. I can't believe they built a bridge right there.
We can't look at the world around us like it's magic, because there is actual math that makes, for example, that bridge, you know, get held up.
Yeah, math was a mystical art in the early centuries with Pythagoras and his followers, but now it's part of the state of mind. So it's in our minds now.
I mean, it's creativity. I don't like to use the word art because I think it's a little pretentious. And it also kind of excludes the sciences, which I think are also, you know, just as much an art as any other art. And really, I prefer to talk about...
I like to say craft. I prefer to use craft. I'm a crafter, a craftist.
That's much more humble, but then it risks almost being too humble. Like, it almost sounds like, you know...
Like folklore?
Yeah. Like, not so futuristic, but maybe that's cool. Go play low, you know, instead of playing high.
I could be Stevitz Bunyan, not because of my toes or my feet, but like Paul Bunyan chopping down trees. Here comes Stevitz chopping down ideas, or Digital 3 chopping down ignorance. And that is why you've designed so many novel inventions, like this one that involves your pet.
Yeah. So, listen, I am going to, you know, give you some information about it, but I got to warn you that my voice is just tired of talking about the same thing. So I'm just going to play back from my life log. Because I've been live streaming, like, all this stuff.
Okay, you know? Who's editing it, though?
I wrote down the time code.
Oh.
So I've queued up basically things.
You have an algorithm for that? Or search?
It's somewhat proprietary.
Boolean?
But it's, you know, it's natural language processing and, you know, speech interpretation and all that. I mean, okay. You couldn't ever get through that volume of data.
Facial recognition?
Haven't quite gotten to that level.
You don't need it, because it's always your face, so...
Oh, no, there's lots of other faces in there, you know, especially when we do the conferences and stuff.
It's never your face. It's always facing out.
Well, my face pretty often, because I do a lot of vlogging.
And mirror?
Yeah, mirror vlog is what I call it.
Okay. So it's, but how do you do the camera with that?
It's cameras attached to the glasses, so...
You just take off the glasses and put them on the counter?
No, I just look in the mirror.
Oh, you actually mirror...
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, using the mirror.
Oh, okay, so it's you, but backwards.
Well...
Like, you don't really look like
that. I'm already backwards, if you ask me, you know, because, like, we see ourselves different.
10 seconds. We actually see ourselves 10 seconds in the future.
No, that's
not. Did you read that article?
I deleted
it. The brain reads us 10 seconds in the future. So your brain is actually 10 seconds ahead of your body and what's happening.
Yeah, but all that hasn't happened yet. So that's quantumly maybe possible, but not something Newtonianly discussable.
It's not Newtonian, but it might be Smithsonian.
All right. Well, listen, I don't want to have a big conversation. That's sort of the point. I've lined up time code of, like, things I've said in the past. I'm just going to, like, play...
This, like, 7954887 68.
Okay, reading the time code isn't going to get you anywhere. What I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to play with is, like, a presence that is transcends...
Absence.
To the timeline. Like, I don't like existing, like, in the present. I mean, it's so limiting. Like, we're just sitting here now at this waterfront with these stars and the bridge and everything. Like, I mean...
The best place to make a program.
It's beautiful. But I'd like to exist, like, kind of in all moments. If possible. If technologically possible.
Okay, so time code, edited, rearranged time code is a way to do that. Like, like any media, like a video or a film even, these are all moments from a different time all put together. It's such a pain when the movie takes place in real time. People are like, oh man, here we go. I could just be walking outside myself. So Digital 3 is going to play some of his time code did Life Story, and we're ready. Here we go.
Okay, and clip one. Oh my god. Okay, so it's like a piece of luggage, right? Okay, but it's like R2-D2. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna write this down right now.
That was great. So that was just an excerpt of you thinking of the idea. And then if we go a little bit further in the time code, this is you struggling as to who should this idea be for. Pets or, it seemed like, underwater creatures.
All right, the problem's going to be the battery. All right, well, it could be fuel cell or...
Okay, now we step ahead further, and this is the design of the case. So this is a case that you use, and then these are the features, and you're enumerating features here. And you're talking to somebody while you're getting out of the shower.
So the other thing I was thinking is that it should actually be airproof. Right? Because you're going to throw it in the, you know, air compartment, and you might actually want to put a plant in there. You know, like, what if you're traveling with, like, biological specimen or even potentially a pet? Oh my gosh! It should be called the pet!
And then this is, looks like the last clip. This is you talking about the potential market for this device and relating that to internet searches for videos of animals.
Okay, so doing the math, I think probably about $2,000 piece of luggage. Okay, so it's luxury. All right, so I think we should probably info map different people who would be in the market for that. Like, what kinds of things do they search for? Like, what's that thing they said that everybody who has the greatest intelligence also hit like on the Facebook page for peanut butter, do it, and then they all, you know, smart people know smart people. So who would click on the, like, what kind of qualities would the person who would buy this have? Like, can we do some, like, social graph research and development, and I'm just putting that out there to any of my listeners, you know, volunteer.
And there's one more little clip here. I just found an extra bonus. This is while you're drawing the luggage, and you were talking to yourself about the different things that you were drawing and what you were describing the drawing as you were drawing, which I think is amazing. Whenever I draw, I can't hold a pencil or look around in the room at anything else happening because it'll distract me. I'll start to draw that. Wherever my eyes go, that's what my fingers record. Wherever my fingers go, then my mind goes there too. So it's hard for me to draw or even to feel. If I'm feeling clay and then I look at somebody and then I pretty soon everybody gets clay all over them.
Okay, so, basically it's either a one-wheel or a two-wheel device. I'm going to say two-wheel device because I think a future version of this is going to be one where you get to actually, like, ride on it or possibly in it. But, okay, sticking to the plan for now. So it's just a little, basically, box on two wheels. It's kind of like a Segway and, you know, it balances itself up and it follows you around. It's got, you know, LiDAR, so it's spinning lasers around and it understands its space. It's aware. It's intelligent. It's, you know, it's your friend. It is your pet.
That's the pet luggage. Contains your pet and it is your pet. Wow, Digital 3. Pretty good. This is Steve Itz with Digital 3. Take two, or this is our second invention, called the, I don't think that was the name you gave it, Blood Sausage Ring?
No, I did not call it the Blood Sausage Ring, although that's interesting marketing, I suppose.
Yeah, I might have applied my languaging to that. Because, first of all, a ring of thieves or a den of sausages, which is it going to be? I'll take both. And that's why it's a blood sausage ring.
Well, okay, the idea really was that, you know, your finger is the sausage and the ring is the thing on your finger. I mean, really, the idea... Well, okay, I don't want to explain these because I... Do you know how many people I've told these to? And like, I mean,
well, just explain in two sentences and then we can go to your life log.
Okay, okay. Basically, it's a universal clicker. And you can swipe...
Like a remote control for your TV?
A remote control for anything that you've paired it to in your world, in your environment, or anything that you encounter. You can adjust volume through sliding your thumb left and right on the ring. Or you can tap. And a tap is like a click. Or you can double tap or whatever. It's basically just a ring, and that's all it is. It transmits digitally. But I think the log, I've cataloged the idea from its inception, from all these different like moments that it's been developed, and so
in your live stream,
in the live stream.
Okay, so we'll go to that now. We're going to number one of three here. Okay, or maybe there's a couple more underneath, but three main ones, and let it roll.
Basically, you put these things in your pocket, right? But then what about things just being your pocket? Like, what if it's already the pocket? And so then from there, basically, I came with the belt. And I pretty much figure you can put a processor, a battery, everything you would need within your portable electronics actually into a belt that could also hold up your pants.
And that was a Tuesday. It was raining, and you were waiting for the bus. And this is a Thursday morning with three friends. At least that's the image.
Okay, you know how they're always saying on these entrepreneur workshops that you should think bigger than big?
Yeah.
So I just realized that I've been thinking way too small.
Yeah.
And... I need to think bigger.
Yeah.
In order to do that, I need to make my products actually smaller, counterintuitively.
Yeah.
And so, the small, belt...
Small is the new big.
The belt that I was telling you about actually can be way smaller than that. It could actually be just a ring.
Belt around your finger. And that was one of your friends, apparently.
Well, I mean, confidants. I mean, I have lots of colleagues.
But no friends.
Well, I mean,
because who needs friends when you have a?
I'm friends with them, but I wouldn't want to reduce, you know, what we do to just, you know, hanging around as friends.
Friendship.
You know?
Friendship.
I mean,
is
we
too
are friends.
Reductive.
Yeah, let's not. I mean, let's not like, you know, put labels on each other. You know.
Yeah, fools. I like to call them the people who hang around me. Why are they there, fools? And this one is interesting. This is, you recorded this in the rain, and your device short-circuited at some point during the recording.
Okay, so the question is, do you need one or do you need two? I mean, obviously you could do a lot more with two. You know, you could ping-pong back and forth, left, right, left, right. There could be a whole language based on it. Like, that could link into the other ideas. But really, the question is then about redundancy. You know, how, if you're going to make everything be the everything thing, then shouldn't you have two of the everything things on you at all times? And so in a way, they should maybe just do the same thing, but maybe they could be aware of the finger that you're wearing. So if you're wearing it on the left finger, there's a certain kind of gait. Like as I'm walking, I move my wrist in a certain way because it's my left wrist, but then I put on my other ring finger on my other hand, on my index finger, and then I'm walking. Now you can see I'm moving in a different way. So basically, it's totally self-aware about how it's being moved and machine algorithms.
Well, Digital 3, that was good. That was great. We got some insights into that invention. And I can see there's another invention on the list here. It's too bad that recording got lost in the rain at the end. It was fascinating. It sounded like you were going to design twin devices.
No, it was ironic because I was talking about redundancy and battery, and meanwhile my equipment, you know, its battery died. And I don't actually have redundant batteries, so...
Okay, because you're not nearly as redundant as most designers and most systems can be.
I like to make things so good they don't need redundant backups, and that's the type of battery that I use. But in that case, it actually did just get overused and it died.
Yeah, well... there's a lot of dead batteries already. So that in that case, there was a redundancy. You were adding another dead battery to a long list of dead batteries. So as much as we try to design novelty, there's redundancy. And I said it again.
Okay, so I've got some other clips.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, I'll play this.
What's the title heading of this section?
These ones are about, well, you call it the E-coat vibrational bikini.
E-coat vibrational bikini.
I mean, well,
that's because it gets online.
Combined, but...
Yeah, well, because on their own they wouldn't stand up is why.
Okay.
Yeah. You need a flashing coat if you're going to have a bikini. You can't just wear the bikini into, you know, the department store. You might not get let in, but under a coat, under a big coat, and then when you get hot, you take off the coat, or just whoosh, quick open it up for a moment of air, like a quick breath of air comes in, whoosh, and you're on the internet, and it moves around. So that's exciting. That's something that people are going to look for, where it started as a novelty item, and it became the Model T item.
All right, so here's a clip about that.
That's like the Model T Ford became the thing, the beginning of a new form of transport. Oh, yeah, okay, and here we're going to go to the clip now. This is you separated from your clothes because you were swimming and then you couldn't find... But you still had your equipment on you. You went swimming, apparently, with your equipment on you. You got separated from your clothes. Now you're walking through the woods.
Oh, my gosh, I finally found my black hoodie, and I get so much for being so... You know, like a techie wearing a black hoodie, so generic and cheesy. But I tell you what, I have a new idea, which is actually clothing that can change its surface. So the reason I don't actually care what I wear is because I'm not interested in, like, the fashion statement. But I am interested in making statements. I have a lot of ideas for the world. So what I'm thinking is there should be, like, clothing that, you know, instead of having a picture of something that the designer thought of, it's actually a digital screen that I can dynamically change whenever I want, and I can write software that, you know, contextually changes what's on the screen based on an environment where I'm standing or an event that I go to or a person that I'm around, and so I can express myself externally as fashion claims that it is capable of doing, but in a way that is actually expressing myself.
And then later you were having dinner with someone and you were talking while they were looking at the menu.
The next thing that I want to tell you about is a little bit unformed, so, okay.
I think I'll try the, what do people order here?
See the way that you're communicating? Like, isn't communication so antiquated? You know, we have to, like,
mm-hmm.
make vibrations with the meat flapping around between our
mm-hmm.
teeth. And, you know, what if we could actually be as quick as the technological world that we live inside of, but actually...
Waiter?
One-on-one, you know? Like, getting the waiter, for example, like, what if you could just almost telepathically ping them? And I realize that I have these rings that can, you know, transmit
Oh,
messages.
Yes, I'd like, I'll try the salad, the Cobb salad, with Caesar dressing.
Remember what I'm talking about? What I told you about the rings you could swipe, and then they make, like, clicks when you swipe them? But, like...
Candy rings.
How do you, receive that? And, like, imagine if you had a suit that could, like, vibrate, and it vibrates based on the person tapping. So you tap your ring... and those taps are kind of like Morse code, but easier language than that. And you can tap a person, and so then that person's been flagged, and the message is going to go to them. But then the question is, where on their body does it vibrate? Okay, Google. David Eagleman. Okay, I'm going to tell you about this, but I have to remember, like, what this thing is called. It's not the umwelt. The umwelt is the world around you that you're perceiving.
That's just a bunch of pictures. Looks like pictures of someone and when I'm look on my internet, it's just words of someone. So you have pictures and but I have so many words.
Okay, I'm gonna try searching. Oh, this is it. So weird.
Looks like a couple of people looking at each other in profile, but it's kind of like two brains.
No. It's showing parts of the body that are sensitive, larger, and it's showing parts of the body that aren't sensitive.
Oh, right.
Smaller.
This was a meme, you know, got passed around already. How is this your invention?
No. I'm trying to remember, what is it called? What is that thing called?
Oh, that was good, Digital 3. And I think there's one more. There's one more statement here. This was you were driving a car. The car broke down, and you're standing by the side of the road.
Okay, so obviously nipples are the most sensitive part of the body, so that's the part where we should be doing the vibrations. But then, now, how do you like build a shirt where it actually stays on the nipple, you know, like it's going to fall off the nipple, kind of like, you know, this wheel falling off the car, you know, you can't get the bolts, like, you know, to, like, get held on there in place, you know, everything's flopping around. So, you know, I'm thinking that with this this vibration built into the clothing, okay, it's all about wearable technology, right? Like, fashion is the new technology, or technology is the new fashion, however you want to look at it. So, basically, what we're talking about is, like, a bra. You know, or pretty much like a bikini. You know,
hey, bro.
Oh, hey.
Hey, how are you, man? Whoa, bummer. I guess a lot of steam coming out of there.
Yeah, I know. Called AAA. Unless you're a mechanic.
Culture Boy.
I cool. did. Cool. Yeah.
I like that name.
No, that's what I did. But yeah.
Yeah. No, call me Culture Boy. So, dude, I will. Give me $5, man. I'm gonna hook you up.
Oh, hey, what's your name, sir?
I just want to take a bus back to North Carolina. I'm jamming.
Hey, listen, it's good.
You can call me Culture Boy because I love that.
All right, Culture Boy. Listen, good luck to you, Culture Boy. All right,
$5, baby. You know what? I'll help you anyway. It seems dangerous me standing this close to you, taller than you. But it's friendly.
No, I totally get it, Jamin. Listen. Good luck to you, sir. And have a great
night.
I don't
need luck, man. I make the plan happen.
Me too. That's the spirit.
Yeah. Who are you talking to a minute ago?
Oh no, I just have.
Tell me about your weird life, man. Just talking to yourself, wandering around your broken car.
There's people. There's people. There's like.
My father's a police officer, so I know. I can tell if people are just like making stuff up, you know.
No, it's not like a lot of people.
Don't be embarrassed.
But there are some people on the stream, but it's not a lot. But right now we have like, you know, it was half a dozen earlier.
It's okay. It's
and
it's
we still have like a few people on there.
You grow. So. You're up and coming, man.
Yeah, you're on there
just
now.
Just gonna sit in the back seat.
I'm just tired.
My legs.
No, I was about to close that door.
Thanks, man.
It's too moist out here.
Hey, bro. Yeah, Charlie. Come on. Got a couple friends coming over. Digital 3. It's remarkable. These are great. These moments from your life when you came up with these ideas.
And they're the real moments. You know, that's the incredible thing.
Yeah, they're real moments.
And that's how ideas happen. You know, they happen at inopportune times.
So you're recording all the time.
All the time because I don't know when this kind of goal.
In fact, you're never recording at the inopportune times because they're inopportune. So all this goal would just wash back into the river.
Yeah, but I'm able to get it. And, you know, I'm actually flagging these things when they happen. So I have actually a spreadsheet of all these time codes and I highlight these.
Are you using your little finger device? Or is that
that's one of the things you could do with it. How I thought about it. You could flag, obviously. That's what I want to do with it. But, I need the prototypes. And, you know, that will come.
With all good things come to wait. And that's why we're waiting here on this show. You're listening to Steve Itz. I'm here with Digital 3. I've been awake for 49 hours, and I've enjoyed it, but I'm really starting to pull out a lot of stuff from my scalp, so I'm going to stop doing that and just adjust. My knee has a bruise. Are those all of your inventions?
Yeah, that was everything that I had put on our schedule for today.
So. Great. That's the schedule. This is
Digital 3.
And I'm Steve Itz. And you are...
The Inventor's Corner.
We put you in a corner and we leave you there. That's what we do. And happy to be there with you.
That's our inventions.
Tonight on Steve Itz and Digital 3. And you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Fun with Fritz. I'm here with just giving over the show to Steve Itz and Digital 3 for the night. I'm just going to go take a break. Enjoy.
All right. This is Cassidy talking with Fritz about the recent noodling or nude looping.
Great. How did you think the other people received it? Both the spectators and the loopers, because I think most of them had never done anything like that before.
People seemed to be so excited about us being naked outside on the street and doing these things, and more so than when we've done this before in clothes. Like a faster congealment of people outside and a more focused and excited and smiling public. And I also thought, we'll say phrases sometimes to give a false context for what we're doing. Like making a connection, clambering over the telephone pole and shouting, we're making a connection. How are we being received? How's the reception? Like these little playful moments, people seem to really, really enjoy because we were naked in addition to all the rest. You know, kind of like, oh, we're ignoring that we're naked. We're just doing this stuff. And I felt that way because I wasn't sure how other loopers would react.
Yeah.
And I like to do a lot of like bodies connected to each other kind of stuff to take the body into a new shape, a new realm. And people seem to be really happy to have feet on their torsos and, you know, bottoms on their cheeks and cheek to cheek. You know, things like this didn't seem to really matter. And I realized at the end of the loop that I didn't really know what anyone looked like naked because I hadn't really looked at them in that way, even though we were all naked.
Why did you decide to do this at all?
Well, we were invited. So we've been looping for a while. We've done maybe 14 different loops, different places, different parts of the city. And someone approached Matthew and I asking us if we would want to loop in their art gallery. And we had talked about how it'd be fun to loop indoors. But, you know, you often don't have permission and things like that. So we loop in public because you can loop in public. You can perform in public, you know, and you run into things like the police want you to move. Keep moving on the sidewalk. They don't want congestion, you know, as people start to form and just as you're really getting going, you know, they can swoop in and tell you to move on. But that can be part of the performance too. So it was exciting that we were going to have some institutional support because often, you know, the authorities are not, they're not adverse to what we're doing, but they're kind of like trying to do a different thing. They just have a different plan for the day. Selling shoes, selling shirts, socks, selling food, whatever it is. Selling something usually. So, and I understand that. Or getting to work, you know, or leaving work or relaxing from work. But it's encouraging. People seem to really respond. People seem to really like this stuff. You know, the people passing by. And many stay and some stay for hours. So to answer your question, we were approached by a gallery. This is the Rivington Design House, and this guy Brian, and he suggested that we loop in his gallery at the beginning of a show that they were going to have. And so we went and talked to him, and I thought it would be fun to take the idea of art, you know, seriously, but in a playful way. So, you know, there's so much nude there are so many nudes in art. It's kind of like one of the tropes of art is to have the body over time. What does it look like? How do we love it? How beautiful it is, you know, all this stuff. So why not have naked people? And Brian was excited because they had done something before with male nudes, I think. Called male nudes, maybe last year. So he has some history with being naked. And then I did a performance like a few years ago where it was nude. It was nude drawing. You know, this is another art thing, right? You draw nudes because you get the whole body there and you don't have to worry about all the ruffles of clothes. It's maybe simpler, less lines. So we did a nude drawing where it was kind of volunteer modeling. So the audience was the model. And then the audience was the canvas. So you could draw, you could be nude and be drawn on, and the content that was drawn on your body was other nudes. So nudes on nudes, you know, recursive nudes added into infinity, postmodern nudity. And we, at the end of that event, we ran outside, and one of the people there was a lawyer, and he's like, you know, it's okay to be naked as long as it's not in the prurient interest, he would use this phrase. So as long as you're not trying to titillate people with your nudity, or your, you know, your body nude, whatever it's doing, then you're, you know, you're expressing something potentially, and then that's okay. That's art, and that's freedom of speech. So I was confident, having had that experience, you know, and also kind of having done a lot of different stuff. Basically, there are rules against everything that we want to do, but the biggest laws in the land really support people, you know, being themselves, pursuing happiness, being free, all that fun stuff. So I think the point, for me, the point of this was to do a performance that reminded us of the bigger picture, you know, that we're all human beings, that we have these normal bodies, and you do it during Fashion Week when everybody's concerned about how they look. Are they a la mode, déclassé? What? Do they have the right medical sides shaved into their head? You know, are the glasses square enough? Are the pants skinny enough? And you just take that away. You know, we always have markers of our background and things like that, but taking away clothes, it's taking away a huge part of that expression. But it's also saying that we have a different kind of uniqueness just in our animal selves or in our human selves. So we talked and we decided that Fashion Week would be good because it, you know, it calls attention to like the drapery on the body, and there is also this crazy big industry around changing your clothes all the time, having new clothes all the time, wearing, being clean all the time. You know, there are these great strong values that we have in our society, and many of them make sense. You know, you don't get as sick if you're clean, and if you change your clothes, maybe that's nice for other people, you know. But it's gotten maybe exaggerated to a point where you have to like smell so nice all the time, or, you know, be a certain way, or like you do a job which leaves no impact on your body, so then you have to exercise in order for your body to look like something. So then you have like the body at work is a body that's in a chair and it's slumped over and it's curved and it's atrophying, whereas the body, you know, like looping or noodling is maybe something else. So looping is it's being naked, it's movement. I'm giving you a really long answer.
You're really making your life very hard.
I'm making your life hard.
Well, I mean, it'll be fun.
Gosh.
Sift.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right, so we could do it again. I can say again, but this is finally my short answer.
I'll glean.
You'll glean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Normally I type everything out and then I take the bits. I'm not gonna do that.
But it's like you have a ready-made essay already.
Right, but it's
too
not,
long.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not. It's about everyone's experience. So you're just part of the whole.
I'm just a piece. Okay, well, my succinct answer to you.
Great.
Here we go. I don't think it's a big deal to be naked, but it can be a huge experience for a person to go through, to be released from the judgment that goes along with the fear of being naked.
Yeah.
So for me, this performance is about a release of fear, a release of judgment. It's about play. And then socially, it's about, we live in a world where this is safe and where this is accepted. Because look, it's happening and it's okay. They got away with it. How is it possible? Because, you know, we have larger laws that will protect these small, silly things that we do. Because they're important. It's important to not have to, you know, wear an Armani suit or have $100,000, but just be accepted for who you are in your own skin. Because if you can't be accepted in your own skin, then how can you be accepted?
Great. Would you do something like this again, or is this more of a one-time thing?
I think, sure, I would do something like this again. For me, it's the audience is the performance. So, and with looping, I feel like the audience is, you know, we had people who'd never done this with us before.
Yeah.
And it may make sense to say, so what is looping? What is nude looping? What is noodling? Looping is for me, is listening to other people and also leading other people. Like, we listen to each other, support each other, and then we also strive to be unique and offer something different. And hopefully we manage that, you know? It's about a group experience, but also your individual expression still being able to happen. And it's spontaneous and it's free form. But there are a lot of values that I feel like are very strong. Like, we respect one another. We respect and engage the audience and invite them in. And that audience includes authorities and just passersby equally. Like, the police are as much the audience in that way. They're invited. And then, so noodling is when you're doing that, but you're nude. And then it's kind of silly. It's like a little bit silly to be naked.
Yeah.
It's fun. And maybe it's like some kind of, you know, slurping spaghetti. So, noodling seems appropriate.
That's true.
That's you saying, this is me.
Written or something. I want your original idea.
Oh, you do?
But, I realize I don't have the energy actually to make something like that.
Okay.
And so maybe the pamphlet should just, we should just allow it to come. We're looking for a myth, and the myth will come to the story that sparks the two realities between the physical world and the spiritual world.
Right.
The mysterious.
Yeah.
That's what's gonna happen.
Great.
Right?
Yeah, I think you're right. Cool.
Or it doesn't matter, or it'll never happen. It doesn't need to happen.
I can do the pamphlet.
Don't do it. It's work.
But there's no such thing, I don't think. Right?
You gotta save yourself, and...
Yeah, I'm fine.
You're saved. Not saved. I'm living in being succumbed by the dragon that keeps all the treasures. Do you want to share the
I like that.
Share the treasures.
Yeah, I like that though. I like the dragon idea too.
What? The dragon idea is a myth, you know. It's that it's that myth, like, there are people that exist that just take and take and take and keep.
Yeah.
Those are also emotional vampires, too.
Right, right.
They just keep taking, but they don't know what to do with all this stuff. So all the dragon does is just make sure nobody takes it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I give my stuff away all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But that's what fear is, you know? A fear of lack of, so you hold on to everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I probably... Because I'm trying to give my stuff away, but I think... You know, like, I haven't made that page yet. Partly it's because I just don't want to be checking Facebook more than I already do.
Well, maybe we could do that. Because I don't really want to be a part of Facebook myself. I don't want to be a part of the social internet world. Because I'm starting to realize the trend here. Like, you know, the people that run these social things, they need your focused attention for it to work, for it to be a country, for it to be a
right.
a company or a religion or something. It needs that focused energy, right? So, and but their, you know, their argument is saying, oh, you use us, you get to, your information gets shown to like 10 to 15 people in under 1 minute.
Right.
Right, and I guess that works more for, you know, a company, a major company that, you know, they want people to pay for the, you know, I mean, at the end of the road, that's what they want everybody to pay.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's all of the machines, what they're doing is they're taking... You know, this is old epiphanies I've had over the years. They're taking away your focused energy. They're not forcing you.
Mm-hmm.
But they're trying to get you addicted out of a habit, out of social habit. If other people are doing it, you have to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because other people... How else are you going to communicate to a lot of people your, you know, awesome information that you want to share? So, it's... What is it? The story with two edges or something.
Yeah.
But the truth is like when I started my project, I've always said that I just don't want to use the internet anymore, and I could do that, and for some weird reason, I haven't yet.
Well, isn't it getting you things?
It got me. A trip to Poland.
Right.
Because people knew who to contact.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it exists, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it.
But I think it's also gotten you more than just a trip to Poland. I think it's also gotten you more people coming to Bazaar and the Circus of Dreams and, like, more... Don't you think? More people wanting you to perform in their stuff.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, it's been both of those.
Yeah, but it it's a trick. It's sucking you. Well, the problem is the people, the things that, the people that want to unify the earth are the wrong people. They want to unify so they can take control of it.
Right.
You know, we need people who want to unify so everybody feels connected to the whole experience.
Right.
And that's why a lot of people are depressed, because I'm doing this because of another rich man's idea of success. You know, I'm doing this to profit a few individuals, but I have no choice because I need to make money.
Right.
So I have to be a bitch to the system, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I'm striving for that myth so I don't keep getting caught in these loops.
Yeah.
I keep... Because the truth is, all you need to do is not pay attention. What is it? The three things of Buddha or the Jesus were there were the three temptations.
Okay.
And one of them was public opinion.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are they? What are the other ones?
Well, the first one was...
material?
It was turning rocks into bread.
Okay.
One of them was about going against... Like, to follow your bliss, you had to go against... You know, don't listen to public The public.
Are these were miracles?
The three temptations of Christ. I don't know. You want me to get the reference or?
Sure. Yeah, I'm interested. Is it like the carnal temptation, like sleeping with the lady, and then?
Yeah, it was like lust and. Let's see if I can find.
And
it.
Food, maybe, I don't know. Food, maybe not one.
See, I'm not very good. I don't I understand it, but I'm not. I feel like I'm not understanding. I feel stupid.
Well, it's just. I think it's just because
to evolve. To courage is so. I haven't grown up yet. I want to evolve. I want to save myself so I could save the world. To evolve out of this position of psychological immaturity to the courage of self-responsibility and assurance requires a death and resurrection. That's the basic motive of a universal hero's journey, leaving one condition and finding the source of life to bring you forth into a richer, more mature condition. Maybe mature is not the word. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The public hero is sensitive to the needs of his time.
No, it's good.
I'm sorry, I feel like I'm wasting your time.
You're not. I mean, it doesn't matter what I say.
Why are you even spending time with me right now?
I enjoy it.
Darth Vader has not developed his own. I don't know. This, it's such. I feel that this is so powerful stuff, and I just want to. I want to get it, but you get it by not getting it. It's, you know. And I don't. I'm feeding into the illusion. I don't really I understand it, but I don't understand it. And I'm one of those people that are. Wasting time trying to. This is the fundamental. So I'm trying to find the one that I just talked about. The three.
Oh yeah, sure.
Do you want me to show you or?
Yeah, sure. If you can find it, it's not a problem. If you can't, Google can probably find it. That's an interesting character in a story. A person who knows anything as long as you ask them.
What?
Like a person who can give you any knowledge. As long as you ask them the right way.
Who's that?
Well, the character's name is Google.
Oh.
But it's also the Sphinx. I think the Sphinx does that, and I also think Rumpelstiltskin kind of does that. Or like their fairies, sometimes fairies do that. They grant your wishes, which is a little bit bigger, and like genies will do that. But Google is like a genie or a fairy. Like, I think this is why partly why the myths can be updated in a way. Machine is a character in the story now. The machine is not just...
Machine is part of the myth because we all feel like, you know, like really weird, you know, JFK assassination is a...
conspiracy?
So conspiracy theories are part of the myth because you don't know if they're real or not,
right.
And there's been information or whatever, but now the machine is part of the myth because we have no idea. Like we need to be scared a little so we go into the bliss just a little, not in terms of scaring them so much that we buy more stuff, you know,
right.
Scared in the wrong way, but I mean, the part of the myth people are saying is that they want to put, you know, the people on top want to put microchips in everybody.
Right.
I want to have a choice if I want a microchip or not, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe the microchip will help me connect to the internet faster, but I want to have a choice, you know. And
sure.
It seems like they're going to push some heavy, the fear is in everybody is that they're going to push heavy on good people like us,
right?
On, you know, that exists. Those fantasy realities, fear realities of those things exist. The only way you could defeat this is if you follow your bliss before all this follow your bliss. The thing that makes me most excited is awakening the world, and that's the job of an artist.
Uh-huh.
I don't see myself as an artist that much. I don't know. I'm stuck in a bad paradigm right now, and a lot of it has to do, like, I hurt my back and I stopped performing, and now I hurt my leg and I'm thinking too much.
Right, I see.
So I'm driving myself nuts, and when you think too much, there's, you know, you're creating more problems. And
right.
And I know I am, but I love reading this stuff, and so I'm reading it, but I need to, I mean, that's why we're doing the workshops, but I think I need more action. I mean, maybe I should just, even if it's, you know, I can't put out that much energy, I'll just go to the subway, hold up a sign, and look at people. And the myth will come to me.
Yeah.
It, I mean, it, even talking to you, it's, you know, it's, I mean, the planet is the whole planet is a living human being itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that you're just one of the tiny cells of it.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, yeah. Great. Good.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's good. Do you have to go soon? Like half hour?
Like 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Okay. I might go when you go.
Well, I thought you wanted to edit.
I don't really live here. I don't know.
Oh, and you then, come here and I got you. I made you come all the way down here.
Okay.
I feel bad.
No. I kept you waiting. Whatever. You know, it all balances. But I needed to get out. That helped me a lot.
To get out of the house.
Well, also because I started to have some of these issues.
The
after
thinking.
Talking to you on the phone, actually, just physically. But then I ran today, and I feel better. And I think there was a. Yeah, who knows what it's from, but. So now I'm loosening up again, so that was good. And it was a good excuse, and I ran 60 blocks, you know.
Uh-huh.
So that was nice. But yeah, I think, well, you know, our original plan today was we would shoot each other.
Right, well,
I... Let's do that for 5 minutes. Even inside, I think it'd be interesting.
I might be out of space on my phone. Or maybe I'm not. It's turned white again.
You're recording.
Yeah, well, because you were like, oh, let's record all this stuff. I don't know if I'll do anything with it, Matthew. Maybe we'll have to give it to somebody else.
Oh, no. That's fine that you're recording.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mean to sound like, oh, you're recording.
But do you want to try that for 5 minutes each?
Yeah, let's do it now. The machine is that is the myth, you know? Is
right.
Is we're at a point where, you know, we're forced, like, we need a new myth for the present reality.
Mm-hmm.
We need our job, and we could do it, you know, if we make something very amazing, but I the only way I feel like it can be done,
mm-hmm.
and I hate to say this,
okay,
is if it's nothing about, like, what the machine is about.
Okay.
And I have nothing against, you know, but I the season is getting warm. I don't think in the first year you're not going to, you know, you have to really do something, you know, it's not, you know, A, it's not about the money, B, it's not about the fame, you know, C, it's not about, it's not about all those branding a name, mm-hmm. or anything. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the trick. That's the trick. Because all those things, they get you back in the machine. And then you're supporting, you know, you support the machine again. If you could just do this, you know, without... Which, I don't know, which makes the whole cause worthless, you know?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make money, right?
Well,
in terms of the machine, that's why no true art has been being created in our present day reality because of these these mind inflictions.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. Well, the thing about, I mean, we use language to, right, sometimes to communicate, like a shared experience or an unshared experience that we want somebody else to understand. And I think when you do that now,
yeah,
you create, I don't know if you create brands, but you create meme ideas.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can avoid doing that.
But then that's organic. Whatever
okay.
gets picked up.
Oh, I see.
That's really cool.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Like, because,
Well, here's the only, okay, so I'm into what you're saying, but I kind of think the way that people find these things, the way that one finds this stuff,
yeah.
is almost by, like, approaching it in many ways at once.
Right.
So there could be a way of approaching it, which is, that doesn't have anything to do with fame and all this kind of stuff. And then there could be an opposite way, which is only about fame or something. You know, that and it becomes a parody of itself, and then it transcends itself, and then you get to the same, you know, potentially. Like, I think there's many roads that go. That's what I'm saying.
No, you're right, and I what I just said contradicts, like, what I just took a note from Joseph. I just read it to you. If you really want to help this world, what you will want to teach is how to live in it.
Right.
He said you can't necessarily save it. You can't, you know, I don't know. We're teaching people how to live in the machine so that they're workers of the machine. So they, you know, you got to, we're workers of the, I'm confused.
Well, I
don't even know what I'm talking about. Just forget it.
No.
I'm a failure.
I think
but
that...
But you do need a new myth. You need a myth. I don't know if it's a pamphlet or... You go talk. I'm sorry.
No.
You had an epiphany. Let me take notes. You have some pieces of paper?
Sure. Hold on a second. I think that teaching people how to live in it is like...
That's what the pamphlet was about.
Yeah, that can be that. Yeah, no, totally.
And that's what you wanted to do with the first session for some reason. You wanted to teach people how to live.
That's right.
You wanted to help them.
Yeah, I wanted to... we were going
to
call
but
it...
But if you... I don't... I
how
think
to be yourself.
I think it'll take too much time to help each specific... the smarter people, the people who are... You know, not crazy or stuck in their own heads,
right.
will realize the metaphor. I mean, if you could tap into people with, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
People tapped into this story of, you know, a crazy man on the street, you know, giving advice, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if they see me now, who I am right now,
right.
it's just not, it doesn't have the same pull.
As the because you're not the crazy man now, or because they've already seen
it's
the crazy man.
Well, it's magical to see. You know, it's magical to see. It's part of the myth. It's part of like the fool, the idiot, is giving Don Quixote is giving enlightening advice.
Yeah, I love that's my favorite book.
Exactly, and
yeah.
I mean, maybe we're crazy people from the street. You know, maybe I met you on the street or something.
Oh, in our myth, our story. Well, I have an idea. Because a lot of, like, it's... One way to approach this is talking about it, right? But that, he was saying that's sort of a secondary way. We could...
Who's saying a secondary way?
From your notes. Joseph Campbell was saying that.
What did you say?
He said that the best truths can't be expressed, and then secondary ones are always misunderstood, and then tertiary ones are... can be expressed. So I guess we could talk about it, but we're only at that level 3.
Yeah.
If we wanted to be at level 1 or 2 even,
yeah.
we could just do things.
Yeah.
Together and then see what happens. Like, you know, you draw a picture, I draw a picture, you draw a picture, I draw a picture.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, like that. And then we look at them. I'm just saying there may be other ways Yeah, or like we just turn on the camera. Like you have this idea that we're people from the street, and maybe I have another idea.
Yeah.
But you, I haven't told you mine. You haven't told me yours. But we just kind of do them as. You know, it's almost like a practice to find a myth instead of just talking. Because we could also talk, but it might be fun to take breaks and not talk for some time and do other things.
Uh-huh.